Good morning. Again, welcome to ACC. Thank you, Paling, for just sharing your testimony with us. It's really a great segue to what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and just make your way to Exodus 34. In a moment, we'll be looking at that. I would like to say that I am a person whose life exemplifies second chances. I am a person whose life exemplifies second chances. And there were two kind of events that took place this past week that reminded me again of that truth in my life. The first one is Lucy and I have celebrated our anniversary yesterday. It's been 17 years together, so really happy and joyful about that. Thank you. But when it comes to second chances, I'll tell you, marriage, when you're married to someone for that long, there have been many times, I can't even count it anymore, many times I've failed, okay? There have been many times where I have failed to connect with Lucy in terms of, you know, what she's thinking, what she's feeling. There have been many times where I've been in the doghouse. That's not even a proverbial thing, it's literally a doghouse. There have been many times where I would think, wow, you know, I've been married to this girl for such a long time. I know her. You know, I know what she loves. I know what ticks her off. I know what just makes her happy. And yet, time and time again, there have been instances where I would fail. And yet, the second chances will come about when God would use Lucy to still love on me, understand just how dumb I am and I just can't figure things out sometimes. Or the times when all she needed was someone to be there to hug, but here I am just rambling on about how to solve the problem. So I know for sure that in my marriage there have been so many second chances that have been taking place, and I'm just so thankful that God brought me a woman who just really understands me and supports me and cares for me. There was another event that has happened in my life, in my and Lucy's life, and we've shared this before to all of you, and it's our this past Wednesday we got to remember the birth and the death of our daughter Evangeline. She was born a few days before our anniversary, and she died because of stillbirth. And so this past Wednesday was the day we remembered. And I can't tell you that in that moment when we found out that she was not going to live, that there were many second chances that were taking place at that moment, because as I shared before in my life, at that moment, there were just so many doubts that I had about God. So it's not even questions anymore. I was just so angry and so upset at God for allowing my daughter to not live that I just couldn't think anymore. And there were many decisions in those next few weeks after her death where I made decisions that were not pleasing to God. And I've shared this with you before. At one point, I decided that I was no longer going to follow him. That I was not just going to step down from ministry. I was no longer going to follow him. I was that heartbroken. And yet, in those very moments of despair and discouragement, were moments of second chances in my life. I mean, just the fact that I'm still here at church hopefully tells you that God rescued me big time, big time. When I had just my anger and just my wrath just thrown upon God and not wanting to listen to him anymore, not wanting to have a relationship with him anymore, he remained there. He never ran away. He was always there when I was just crying beyond belief. He was always there when I was just, you know, just shaking my fist at him. He was there when I would try to comfort Lucy when she's crying and she could not stop bawling, just wailing. And I couldn't even have a solution in that situation, and God was still there. I am a testimony of what second chances really looks like. And I would like to extend that thought to say that all of us here live lives of second chances. And those second chances could be on many different levels, right? You deserve to get an F in that class. You really did. You really did. You didn't put your effort into it. And you deserve to get that F. But for some reason, whether your teacher, your professor just had a kind heart or whatever, you got that C minus. Who laughed? Don't be satisfied with a C minus, okay? Just kidding. I went through that. I had a number of classes in college where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I got that C minus, and I am, praise the Lord, for that second chance. We've had second chances because none of us are perfect. None of us. So we will make mistakes. We will hurt other people. We will hurt loved ones. We will hurt the stranger. And then we realize that we've done something that was so incredibly bad, so incredibly wrong, and we're asking ourselves, how in the world can this be turned around? And then out of nowhere, God just comes in, restores the relationship, brings you into reconciliation, offers up forgiveness. And then you're like, wow. Thank you, God. Thank you for that second chance. And obviously, for those of us who proclaim that we are followers of Jesus, right, that the gospel message is the message of a second chance. While we were going off and doing our own thing, disobeying God, rebelling against the Lord, choosing to be our own God, God chooses to send his son Jesus to give us a different way, a new way. That if we confess that we are sinners and that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and to forgive us and that he is our Savior, and if we surrender our lives to him, we are saved. That's a second chance. We've been going through a series called Free to Worship. And if you have been with us in this journey, you have been reading, you have been wrestling with a story about a nation called Israel who had been delivered by God, who was rescued from the bondage of slavery, who was given a new life, a second chance to make God their Lord, follow him through, obey him, trust in him as God leads this nation to the promised land. And yet, after a while, we realized that this nation, the Israelites, couldn't follow through, couldn't worship God, couldn't trust in him in all things. If you remember in Exodus chapter 32, they were so worried because they couldn't see Moses. Moses went up to the mountain, spent some time with God. The people were nervous because after a while they realized, oh, where's Moses? You know, what's going on? So in their haste, they decided to build a golden calf to worship. In their haste, they decided to be God and to make that decision to worship an idol. And obviously God was upset. Obviously God from the mountaintop sees what's going on and he was furious with a righteous anger. How could these people, whom he just delivered, whom he has shown his power to them time and time and time again. In fact, these people made a covenant with God and said, we will follow you. Everything you tell us what to do, we will do. And just like that, they turned around. They decided to create their own idol and to worship. And God was just upset. And Moses was sent down. And Moses, too, was upset. And he, you know, destroys that calf. He destroys the Ten Commandments. He was just really upset and furious. And he calls out the nation of Israel and says, why would you do this? And we know it's because of our sin, right? That despite of what God has done for us, we still will choose to do our own thing. We will choose to go our separate ways. We will choose to worship other things in our lives rather than worship the one true God. So God was so furious about what just happened that last week, you know, we learned in Exodus 33, God tells Moses, you know what? I still want you to go to the promised land. I still want you to conquer the promised land. And I will defeat every enemy that comes your way, but I will not go with you. I will not go with you. God was just so upset and just angry at his people that he said, I will still protect you. I still want you to conquer the land, but I will not be with you. I cannot be with you. And he calls them the stiff-necked people,
right?
And when the people of God hears that, they were just in mourning. They realized what they've done was so evil and so sinful, and they were just in mourning. And Moses was in mourning, and Moses goes up to God and he says, God, how is that possible? How can you just let us go out there on our own? We need you. We need you. How in the world can we even conquer all these enemies in front of us when you're not there with us? These other nations, they're just going to make fun of us. All these other nations, they're not going to see you. Why would you not be with us? And God was so convinced by what Moses said to him that at the end of Exodus 33, God says, I hear you, Moses. And my favor is on you. And I hear what you're saying. And I will be with you. I will be with your people. And that, at the end of 33, it should make us as readers, as the audience, as we read Exodus 33, makes us ask the question, why would God do that? I mean, just a while back, the people completely disobeyed God, completely did something that's evil, unrighteous. And God had every right to be angry at them. He had every right in his holiness and righteousness to say, no, I no longer want to be in your presence. And then from their mourning and from their cries, and Moses just pleads with the Lord, and God says, okay, I will be with you. Why? What would make God choose to be with a people that disobeyed him, that went against him? Because God is the God of renewal. And we'll see that this morning in Exodus chapter 34. So go ahead and make your way to that chapter. Why would God come back to a people who disobeyed him, who went against him, who sinned against him? Because he's the God who renews. Chapter 34, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Why would God choose to go back to a people who purposely, who blatantly went against him? Because God is in the business of renewing lives. And he makes that obviously clear in verse 6. He is a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You see, God is in the business of transforming lives. And we see that again in the message of the gospel. Whereas God had every right to be just and holy, to condemn us for eternity, separated from him forever and ever, he loved us so much that he gave us a second chance. us through his son Jesus. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that second chance. And yet God would cry out for the lives that are separated from him even now. That's how much he loves us so. That he's willing to sacrifice his own son. And from the death and resurrection of his son Jesus, we see God's mercy. We see God's grace. We see that his love is so steadfast and it's abounding. Abounding means it just keeps pouring over and over and over again. Imagine that, where his love just overflows so much. In fact, his love is so steadfast and so constant and so secure that it continues on. Because he forgives our iniquities. He forgives our sin. He forgives our guilt. That is the God that we believe in. And if there's anyone in this room right now that does not have a relationship, you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I ask, let this God who is gracious and merciful to you show himself to you in ways that are so powerful, in ways that are so miraculous, in ways that will change your life, in ways that will give you that second chance. Because you know that the direction, the journey that you are living right now is destroying you, is killing you, is separating you forever from the love of God. But God chose to give his son up for your sake, for your life. And this is your opportunity to give your life over to Jesus. See, the nation of Israel, despite their sin against God, God wanted to show them that he is the God that is for them. He is the God that will give them that chance to turn their lives around, to be the nation that will proclaim to the rest of the world who God is. So God draws them back and he tells Moses, this is who I am. I want to forgive you. I want you to become my people again. And I love how Moses responds. Look at verse 8. And Moses slowly bowed his head. No, he doesn't say that. And Moses thought about it and wanted to make sure that it's all good for him before he makes a decision. No, he doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says, and Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon or forgive our iniquity and our sin. And take us for your inheritance. That's the message of the gospel, right? That when God gives us that opportunity, that second chance for a new life, a life that will transform you forever and ever, our response to such an offering is quickly on our knees, quickly surrendering everything to God and saying, God, you are truth. You are the way. You are the light. You are life. Forgive me. God, forgive my sin. God, forgive my iniquity. You see, his response was the correct response. Quickly respond right away. You see, many times we don't respond in that way. If the opportunity comes to us where we have the chance to receive Jesus into our lives, we pause. We want to make sure that there are more advantages for us than disadvantages. We want to see how much change this could actually make in our lives. Because maybe we don't want that much, so much change in our lives. And yet Pei Ling said it well. She said, faith is trusting in this God without weighing things, without wondering what is best. You just continue to build up your faith day in and day out. You build it. You don't sit down with your spiritual calculator and you're trying to figure things, whether it's going to be the best for you. Your faith in that moment says, I am going to trust in you, God. I am going to trust in what you have for me. And Moses, on behalf of the people, quickly gets down on his knees. I mean, that's the lowest form of bowing to someone. You're on your knees, your head is to the ground, and you're worshiping God. And he's saying, God, forgive us. Forgive us for what we have done. Forgive us for going against you. Forgive us that we decided to make something else our God. And we realize how easy it is for us to fall away. God, forgive us, pardon us, save us, for we are a stiff-necked people. And church, that is the message of the gospel, that we are on our knees acknowledging that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the only one who can save us. There is nothing in the world that we can do to achieve it, to accomplish it. Jesus gives us a free gift for us to respond in faith. So we see here the powerful, powerful message of the gospel that is taking place in and through how God is dealing with his people in Exodus 34. So Moses goes before God. He quickly responds to the Lord. He seeks out, in repentance, God's forgiveness for the people. And after that takes place, God responds back by renewing his covenant with his people yet again. It says in verse 10, and he said, behold, I am making a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But take care, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. You shall tear down their altars. You shall break their pillars. You shall cut down their asherim. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and when they whore after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and you are invited, you eat of his sacrifice, you take of their daughters for your sons, and take their daughters whore after their gods, and make your sons whore after their gods. It's so amazing that when God presents himself as the God who saves, as the God who will set you free, as the God who gives that second chance, and as Moses responds in faith, please forgive us, God, for we are sinners, and we need to be saved by you and you alone in faith. And then God reestablishes the covenant, and the very first thing he says as he reestablishes covenant is, I know you, and I know what will lead you astray. You've already shown that to me a few chapters back. If we are to reestablish this covenant, you need to really know who God is. By God saying, don't make covenants with other gods, don't make covenants with other nations, don't fall into their temptation. What he's really saying is, know who I am. Make that covenant with me. I am your God. I am your Lord. I am the one who will direct you. I am the one who will bless you. I am the one who will guide you. I am your Lord. But I know you. And I know that there are these things that are happening in the world that you're going to fall into temptation. You're going to fall into sin. And you're going to be attracted to these things. If I am to reestablish my covenant with you, know what you are up against. And church, for those of us who are Christians, that's where we are. Each and every day, we are reminded of our covenant with the Lord as we think through whether we should worship this idol, whether we should worship the idol of money, whether we should worship the idol of our future, whether we should worship the idol of saving up because, I don't know, maybe we can't trust God enough. Maybe we are worshiping the idol of, I am going to make sure that my life is going to look like this 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now. And yet at no point do we get on our knees and say, God, you lead me. God, you shape me. God, you form me. You see, there are still idols in this world that we worship. There are many. We worship our careers. We worship our dreams. We worship our future. We worship security. We worship comfort. We worship those things. And yet God not only is saying it to the people of Israel back then, but he's saying it to us right now. Church, know what you are making your covenants to. Don't make it. Don't make covenants to others. Make a covenant to me. I am your God. I am your Lord. I am the one who is merciful and gracious. I am the one who will renew you. I am the one who gave you that second chance. Live for me. Live for my mission. Live for my purpose. Live for my calling. Live for me. That's what God is saying to us, church. So as we have been set free to worship God and worship God alone, we need to constantly ask ourselves, are we worshiping other things in our lives? Don't compromise. Church, let us not be in a place where we're compromising all the time what it means to follow God. Let us not be in that place. You have a much higher calling, a much greater calling than what this world can ever, ever offer you. Follow through on that. And then lastly, it's towards the end of the chapter in Exodus 34. When Moses, in verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But God called to them, but Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with them, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. You see, when we make that covenant with God and we follow through on what we vow to God, that he would be our Lord, he would be our master, that we would do all that he has commanded us to do, you know what you become? A reflection of God in the world that desperately needs to see God. You see, it's so amazing that when Moses came down from the mountain, God's presence, God's holiness, God's righteousness, God was reflecting off Moses. And initially the people were like, whoa, what is this? You know? I remember when I was young and they taught this in Sunday school, I think they made Moses had a pretty nice looking golden tan on him. I'm not sure if that's how he looked, but for sure the people saw Moses and they saw something different. And initially, because they've never seen it before, they were afraid. But you see, when we follow through in our covenant with God, when God gives us that second chance of new life with him, and when we ask for forgiveness and we are forgiven by the Lord of Lords, and God says, make this covenant with me, you follow my ways, you follow my standards, you follow all that I have taught you in my word, and you be a woman and man of prayer, and you seek the lost, and you fight against injustice, and you become my messengers and proclaimers here in this world will see you. They will. They will see something about you that is so different. They will see something about you that is just so different that no one in this world will ever, I mean, they will wonder, like, who is this person? Why is she or he different? There's just something about this person's countenance, this person's heart, the way he or she lives, the way he or she speaks, that is just different. What is it? Because when God renews us, he calls us to be salt and light, to be so different that those who do not know Jesus will actually see a difference. And they will wonder. They will wonder who you are and what makes you different. Then you have an opportunity to share of the love of Jesus to them. You see, Exodus 34 is an amazing, powerful chapter that teaches us about Jesus' love. And that when we have been given that second chance and we receive it, and that when we begin to live it, live our lives out for Jesus, we become the men and women that God will use to bring healing and restoration and reconciliation in this world. Do you want that life? Do you want that calling? Do you want to be risk takers? Do you want to give it up, give everything up for the sake of the call? If I can ask the music team to make their way up here, we will, in a moment, respond in song. But if I can just ask all of us to just bow our heads at this moment. God is the God of renewal. He sees life here on earth that is separated from him, and it's not the life that he chooses or desires for us. He chooses to give a life that can change other lives forever. He chooses to give us a life that is so eternal, a life that has everlasting significance. He wants to offer us that second chance of a life that will be with God and God's presence forever and ever. But it's also the kind of life that is here on earth, an earth that is broken, an earth that is full of hopelessness. It's lives that are here that proclaim the God who renews, the God who gives that second chance, the God that wants to change lives forever. And I ask if there's any one of you in this room right now, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. You are here for a reason this morning because God's message is for you. Give your life over to Jesus now. Trust in him and proclaim him as your Savior. And for us, church, for those of us who are followers of Christ, our mission did not end when we said, Jesus, please come into my life, be my Savior. It did not end there. It just started. We are messengers of the gospel. We are called to proclaim this great love, to offer up this second chance, to preach this God of renewal to millions upon millions of people in this world who don't know Jesus. They don't know God. They've never heard of his name. We are called to be engaged in the lives of these people. And we know them. Many of them are in our lives right now. Let's pray to God and ask him to help us to not waste our time any longer. Whether it's in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our families, whether it's out in the ball field, whether it's just walking around or eating with our friends. Let us be the proclaimers and the preachers of the gospel message of the God who renews. Let's just take a few moments right now. And you just pray that to God and ask him to give you the boldness to be risk takers of the gospel. God, you are stronger. So easy for us to say, but do we believe? Do we believe that you are indeed stronger than anything else in this world? Do we believe that lives truly can be changed? That lives can truly experience real restoration and reconciliation. God, help me. Help us to be the people of God who will always choose to worship you, who will always choose to follow you, who will never entertain any other idols in this world. But we are called to worship the one true God. And as we grow in our faith in worshiping you and in following you, help us to always believe every day that your strength will unleash us as your church to live a life worthy of your calling, to live a life that reflects being salt and light in this world, that we say and do everything so that when people see our lives, they see you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are the God of renewal. May we be people that will always be after your own heart.